Hey, want to jump into the Word of God this morning. As you see in the back behind us, we are continuing our series this morning called Blessed. If you haven't been with us, we'll just give you a quick update with kind of where we've been. Just a little bit of a synopsis to get you on page and get you on point to where we want to go today. But of course, you can always go to spectrumchurch.org and listen to any of the teachings that you have missed. Here's what we said every week, that there is a principle in the book of Genesis. We find from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, where God created man and God created the earth and God created living beings. We find this principle all throughout the Bible, that wherever this thing, where it's called the blessing goes, wherever the blessing goes, that the blessing multiplies. It multiplies. It never stays the same. When a seed goes in the ground, it doesn't just come up one seed. It comes up a myriad of productivity that brings increase. It multiplies. So we've set out and we've been discovering that wherever God is blessing, whatever God does with a man or with a woman, whatever God did with creation, there's always going to be increasing and there's always going to be something called expansion. Expansion and multiplication. So we see that same principle with the man and the woman. The man and the woman came together and then they began having kids. There's multiplication. There's expansion. There's enlargement. That was happening physically, but God's not only interested in something happening physically, He's also interested in something happening spiritually in your life and my life as well. We said this concerning this beginning part in the book of Genesis where we see Adam and Eve. And if you remember the story, when Adam and Eve were created, we don't know how long after that, but we find a serpent shows up in the garden. And we find that he deceived the woman and she ate of this forbidden fruit. God said, you can eat of any tree, but don't eat of this tree in the garden. And she was deceived and she took of it and ate. And then the man, Adam, ate of it. And then there was separation between them and God. Sin entered the human race. And we find when sin entered the human race that all of a sudden a curse was pronounced on the earth. A curse was pronounced on the serpent. A curse was pronounced on the man. A curse was pronounced on the woman. A curse was pronounced on the ground, on the earth. And so we see that there was these things that were working called the curse in the earth. Now, what we find from the Bible, and it's real easy to see for all of us today as adults, we can look out in the earth and we can see where the blessing of God is working, but we can also see where the curse is still working. Come on. But here's the difference. Even though the curse is still in the earth, the curse doesn't have to be working in you. It doesn't have to be working in you. That God's given you the ability to live a life because of Jesus Christ that just completely cuts the legs out of this thing called the curse working in the earth. So we've said this several times already, but I'll say it again. I'll probably even tell you again next week. That based on that fact and truth from the Word of God, it's from Genesis to Revelation, that the blessing of God is disproportional to the effects of the curse at Adam's fall. That we find that this thing called the blessing, we find where God working in a man, God working in a woman, and we'll look at this man named Abram again, that we find that even though it looks like things are contrary, when a man or a woman believes God, they can tap into this thing called the blessing and living a blessed life that takes you out from underneath the cause and the effects of the curse. Even though it's working in the earth, even though it's all around, even though there's negativity and there's fear and there's chaos and there's death and there's poverty and there's all kinds of needs in the earth, when you believe in this thing called the blessing, it lifts you up from the midst of living a life under the curse and the effects of the curse. And we're going to talk about some keys today that will get you out of it and get you and I continually thinking in a way that will walk, that will cause you to walk in this thing called the blessing. We've said this for several weeks now by way of reminder. We'll tell you that God came and God chose this man in Genesis chapter 12 named Abram. We find him and we can track him in the book of Genesis and his lineage. He had a son named Isaac, a grandson named Jacob, and a great-grandson named Joseph. They make up the whole book, the rest of the book from chapter 12 all the way to chapter 50, the book of Genesis. And in all of those children, we see the blessing working in their life. We see where God talked to this one guy called Abram, and he says three things to him. He picks them out and he says, I will show you where you're to be. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll direct you. Do you know that's not just for this guy called Abram? It's for your life. that God wants to show you where to go. You don't have to try to make your own way. You don't have to try to do your own thing, try to find your way in life. Listen, that's humanistic thought. You don't have to do that. God says, I will show you where to go in life. I will show you. I'll show you where to go to school. I'll show you who to marry. I'll show you what career path to go. I'll show you everything about in your life. If you'll just allow me and have room in your life, I'll show you. I'll talk to you. He says, secondly, to Abram, he says, I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you into who I created you to be. You're going to discover my unique call and design for your life. You don't have to try to be somebody else. You don't have to go on social media and just want likes. You can be who I've called you to be. I'm going to make you into something you're not. Regardless if you came from a single home, a broken home, regardless if you knew your mom, didn't know your mom, know your dad, didn't know your dad, whoever, how you got on the earth right now, God says, I'm going to make you into something because of this thing called the blessing. Woo, man. Then he says this, I will bless you. He tells Abram, I will bless you. And the word bless means this, that I'm going to give you power for success, prosperity, and longevity. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to bless you with power. I'm going to bless you with success. I'm going to bless you with longevity. I want you to live long. I want you to be prosperous in your marriage, with your children, in your business, in your career, with the call and assignment of God that I have in your life. I want you to be successful in everything that I'm leading and guiding you in. And so we've been finding out for the last several weeks that this word blessing means empowerment for prosper. That God says, I want to empower you to prosper. It's an empowerment to prosper. That when God says, I'm going to bless you, and we find this word hundreds of times in the Bible, that God says, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to do this in your life. That God says, I'm going to give you the power to prosper. You as a single man, you as a single woman, you as a teenager, you as a divorced person, I'm going to empower you to prosper. If you'll believe me, if you'll trust me, if you'll reach out to me, regardless of what the curse has brought in the earth, and regardless of what it's done and the effects of it in your life, I still have a plan for your life. I will show you, I will make you, and I will bless you. Come on, church, give an amen or something up in here. Yeah. See, so here's what we've been finding, though, is that, again, we read the Bible and we say, that's for them, it ain't for me. That's what God did then, but that's not what God's doing now. Pastor Gary, you're talking about something that's 4,000 years ago or something. How can that still be working today? Here's the connection. In Galatians 3, verse 9, notice on the screen. Here's the connection that God did with this guy called Abram and God wants to do for you. It says this, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. You got, come on everybody, you got the same blessing. The same, you have access to the same blessing. Even though God's got unique gifts and talents and calling on his life, and the person to your right and the person to your left, yet this thing called the blessing, this blessing of God is available to all of us, and it'll work in all of our lives. But the key ingredient, he says here, he received it because of his faith. So your faith is the unlocking force. Your faith is the connector between God's will in heaven and you walking in his will while you're on the earth. You're never going to get away from this thing that I've got to believe something that I can't see. I got to believe something that I can't feel. I got to believe something that there's no human evidence to support its fact and its reality. So much so that we said last week and the week before that God comes to this man and he says, I'm going to make you specifically into a great nation. Now think about that word. If you remember, you've been with us and maybe you haven't been with us. Mama, his wife, Sarah, 65, never had a kid, can't have a kid, womb is shut down. Daddy, Abram, 75, never had a kid, can't have a kid, the functions are shut down. He just wants one child. And God says, we're not talking about one, we're talking about a nation. Wrap your head around that. Because God always brings increase and multiplication. And when he blesses you, he will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Amazing. God's just amazing. So we said three things, and here's where we're going to be going for the next couple of weeks. We said three things. Number one, that the blessing is spiritual. The blessing is spiritual. means it works intangibly. You can't feel it. You can't see it. You can't see it. You can't see faith. You can't see hope. You can't see love. You can't see it. It works intangibly. We said, number two, that the blessing is physical. It'll work in your body. It did it with this guy called Abram, and it did it with his wife. It worked in their bodies. We'll talk about that next week. And thirdly, we find out that this blessing affects the material realm. It works in this earth with abundance, provision, and favor. This thing called the blessing, guys, will work in every single area of your life. Every area of your life. Not just one, not every single area of your life. And so, just to kind of set the foundation, this foundational scripture where we kind of want to take a jumping off point today and talk about three specific things about this spiritual blessing. And again, it's going to sound so simplistic, and then maybe for some of you that have been around church, it's going to be kind of like blasé, like, man, I heard some of this stuff before. But I pray that you just sit there for just a few minutes, 30 more minutes, and just be open, because I believe God's going to talk to all of us in the room this morning. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the book of Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 is rich with talking to you and I now as Christians about who you are now. God is talking to the Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul has written all this stuff down, not just for that church at Ephesus, but now for all mankind, since it's made it in our Bible, about now who we are and what we possess because of the person Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, there's just one scripture that will jump off here, and then we'll read several others in just a moment. But here's what it says. In him, meaning in Jesus now, in Christ Jesus, we have redemption. We'll talk about it in a moment. Redemption through his blood. That talks about when Jesus was on the cross, when he suffered and died, when he went to hell to pay for our penalty, for sin, separation from God. When he did that, we now have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Notice that again. This scripture, guys, is so packed with information for you and I that I encourage you, just don't read it. Just don't let it, you know, in a Bible reading, maybe hopefully you're reading the Bible every day, that you just don't gloss over it and just say, wow, man, you can read this scripture in 2 seconds and it not matter to you. But the Bible says that we now have this thing called redemption, not based on what you've done, not based on what you've done, based on what he did. We have redemption through his blood, through his death, through his burial, through his sacrifice. We have redemption through his blood. We have our sins completely forgiven. And it's according to the riches of his grace, his unmerited, his unearned, his undeserved favor towards us. That God just gives you something that you didn't earn. He gives you something that you didn't deserve. He gives you something that you can't work for. That's called great grace. Wow. So these spiritual blessings, we're going to talk about just three. We're going to water down, and that's not the right way to say it, but we're going to narrow down all the spiritual blessings that we can find, thousands in the scripture, if you would, hundreds in the scripture, to just simply three this morning, or we'd be in this series until Jesus came back. But let's talk about this word redemption. This word redemption, it really just talks about what Jesus purchased for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's all it means, that we're redeemed. What he purchased for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. So we need to know about that. We need to know a little bit about what he purchased for us, what he purchased us from. He delivered us from this thing called the curse. So even though this curse is working all around us, even though we see the effects all around us, we can't buy in and live our life to the way that the world operates, the way society thinks. Just because that's happening over there doesn't mean it's going to happen for me. Because the Bible says, when I make Jesus the Lord of my life, I now have entered into another kingdom. I'm living here, but I'm living there. My thinking comes from him. My action comes from him. My expectation comes from him. My belief comes from him. I'm living here, and I see the curse, but the Bible says he's lifted me out and above that. If I find it in a man called Abram, the Bible says he's given me the very same blessing. I just have to have my faith energized to actually believe it. So this word redemption, look on the screen. It means a release by payment of a ransom. It means deliverance. It means you've been liberated. It means you've been now been made free. You are no longer held captive by sin the minute you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe a moment ago when Pastor Kimberly was up here and you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart and you asked God to forgive you. The Bible says instantly, right now, He has freed you. He has redeemed you. He has liberated you. He has delivered you. He has released you from a payment called sin. And He became your sin substitute. He took your place. Your accepting that makes all things brand new. Maybe you've never heard that. Maybe you've never seen that. Maybe you've walked in it a little bit, but you haven't walked in the full benefits of it. Listen to me. If you'll just say, Lord, show me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me some eyes to see and some ears to hear. He's going to come racing and tracking you down and showing you things in the next 6 months that'll just blow your mind. Because He redeemed you. He paid the price. Jesus paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for your misgiving. He paid the price for all your separation from God. The cause and the effects of this you have been redeemed from. Now, in the book of Ephesians, again, as I made mention, the whole chapter talks about now what you have. And he finishes the chapter with a prayer that we encourage you to pray on a daily basis. But he says in chapter 1, verse 3, in this one translation, God's Word translation, I love what it says here. Notice what it says on the screen. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed us. Come on, everybody say past tense. Come on, past tense. Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. Now, if you can yawn about that, if you can roll your eyes about it, if you can sleep when you hear that, evidently you don't get the meaning of this. Because, listen to me, this tells me that all I have to do, from what we've already read, all I have to do is believe this, have my faith hook up with it, not be moved by what I see, not be moved by what I see, the curse working in the earth or something adverse coming against my life. And I just hook my caboose up with God's train. And He says He has blessed me with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. And I just simply say, back up the truck and load me up, God. Come on, load me up. Back the truck up. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Come on, I can hear heaven kind of going, beep. Beep, beep. Come on, back the truck up. Just load it all up. So whatever heaven has to offer, you qualify for. Come on, everybody. But you don't know what I've done. I lied. You still qualify. I cheated on my taxes 2015. Well, you need to stop it, but you still qualify. We'll see you in jail. We'll come visit you in jail. But you still qualify. We're not advocating living a sinful life, but here's the problem. Most religion, most churches, most places are telling you, if you do this, you get this. And the gospel, the good news says, Jesus talking, I did this so you could get this. I did it. I became sin. I was persecuted. I went to hell. I went to the cross. I don't want you there. You just believe what I did. Receive me and let me work in you. Let me get the lying out of you. Let me get the anger out of you. Come on, let me get the gossip out of you. I'll work on all that. The blessing. Come on, somebody say the blessing. The blessing. Let it work. Come on. All the spiritual blessings that heaven has to offer. So where in your life do you say I'm deficient? I got some deficiencies. I got deficiencies in peace. Guess what? That's a blessing heaven has to offer. I'm deficient in knowing who I am. I'm trying to be everything social media is trying to paint me to be. I'm trying to be some. How about you just be who God's made you to be and allow the blessing that heaven has to offer be realized in your life? Quit trying to please everybody and just be a God pleaser. Come on, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Let's look at this. Here's we're going to jump. And here's we're going to talk. Just get in three things this morning. I said for the next 30 minutes. That was 10 minutes ago. For the next 30 minutes. No. Come on, you know this scripture. This is the New Living Translation. Three things will last. Come on, let's read it out loud. Can we do it in church? Come on, 1, 2, 3, read. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let's talk about these three spiritual blessings that you can't put your finger on. What's love? Where's love? How do you put hope? Where's hope? Where's faith? How can you pick up and say that's faith? Now, we're going to see the results of it, and we'll see what the Word of God talks about it. But the Bible says these three things are going to remain. They're going to last. They're going to be permanently around. They're going to abide forever. They're eternal. So if they're going to be eternal, that means here and when we leave here. So let's figure out a little bit about that this morning in a real nutshell, real simplistic, but we'll all, I believe, have something to take home and work in our lives. Let's talk about faith this morning for just a second. And here's the thought. Faith that connects you to God. Faith that connects you to God. Not faith that moves mountains, not faith that speaks to storms, but faith that connects you to God. It's going to last forever. The faith that connects you to God, we could just summarize this, is really called believing. Believing. Now, you know, one thing, it's amazing about what God and what the Scriptures and what we call Christians. Christians are called believers. Believers. Make sure that you are not an unbelieving believer. Because it's not in your nature. You have the ability, the minute you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, to be a believer. We don't want to be like Thomas, who has to see the scars in his side and the nail prints in his hands. And he says, I won't believe unless I see. And Jesus points the brother out, doesn't he? And says, you're faithless. You're faithless. We have the ability to walk in this blessing called faith and believe something that we have no physical evidence that it even exists. Romans 12:3 says this, foundational scripture for this. God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. The minute you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you get this thing called the measure of faith. Everybody gets the same measure. Everybody gets the same measure. What you and I do with the measure determines what we see in our lives, what we walk in our lives. This thing called faith is amazing. We see faith that God created the worlds with His words, with this thing called faith. That God believed, He spoke, things were created. He had it in His thought process, and He made everything we see, and it's still working and operating now. So much so, the writer in Hebrews says He's upholding all things by the word of His power. That this thing called faith now that we have access to by our believing is eternal. That God's dealt to us all the measure of faith. That the measure can grow based on what you hear and based on what you do. It can grow. So think with me. If you go to school like hey, I don't watch that show, but I heard a show years ago, I don't know if it's still on, by some comedian or something, the redneck comedian, and it's like smarter than a third grader or something like that, or a fourth grader or a fifth grader or something like that. And you watch that show, and they're asking these third graders or fifth graders, whatever it is, like math questions, and I turned it on and I got frustrated because I did not know the answer. And so I'm not watching a show that's going to make me stupid and feel bad about myself. So I shut it off like any smart person would do. But the thought is, I might have known it then, but I don't know it now, because guess why? I quit hearing. I quit applying. I quit reminding myself. You could put all kinds of form. Some of you guys do stuff that is so simplistic in your work, that's so routine to you, meaning simplistic, that should be routine maybe to some of us. Maybe it's math, maybe it's science. What? And it's so simplistic to you, but if you put it to me or somebody else, we go, what the heck are you talking about? What are you talking about? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So listen, if you stop hearing God's Word, you shut off your ability to increase. So this thing that's eternal, this thing called faith, this thing where what's part of now, I got to believe. I've got to see what God says, and God gave me a measure of faith, and now for that thing to grow, I got to keep hearing. I got to keep acting on the Word of God. That's why Jesus says some things in the gospel. He says, take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. Whoever has ears to hear, more is going to be given to him. So what's he talking about? Your physical ears? Of course not. He's talking about the ears of your heart on the inside. When you read the Word of God, he says, whoever has an ear to hear, he says, let him hear. But you better take heed how you hear or what you hear. Because ever how you hear and what you hear, more will be given. He says, if you hear wrong, even what you think you have, he said, it's going to be taken away. So there's something about this hearing that is huge with me and my faith working. I've got to keep coming to the Bible. I've got to keep coming to church. I've got to keep surrounding me with people who are going to speak in my life, not negative and critical and damning. Because here's what I know. If my faith isn't producing, if my faith is not producing, I got to check up on what I've been listening to. I'm telling you cannot have the news on 24 hours a day and be a faith person. It's impossible. You'll be depressed. You'll go get an Uzi and sit at your front door because ISIS is coming to your house today. I'm telling you. The bad people out there are going to come track you down. And sometimes we surround ourselves with negative people sometimes because we just get in this pity thing and we look around and what we're saying is the curse is out there. And I've got nothing to do. I cannot win in life any longer. Let me tell you what. And if that's what you're hearing, and if that's what you're believing, the blessing will not work in your life. Because it works by believing, by faith. By faith. Now what I know about hearing, Scripture's clear. All hearing isn't equal. It's not equal. Jesus said to some people, you're slow to hear. And he said to others, you're quick to hear. You're slow to believe. You're quick to believe. So even today, as we're hearing the Word of God, what's being processed in your soul and your thinking? I can be blessed. I can walk all the blessing that heaven has to offer. But wait a minute. I've only got a high school education. How could I ever support a family? How could I ever buy a house? I don't feel good about myself. How could I ever get involved in ministry and helping other people? It's according to how you believe. How are you going to change that? Find what God says in His Word and say, if it says it here, He means it to me. I am going to believe His Word. Come on, poke your neighbor and say, are you believing? Come on, are you believing? Are you believing? I love this scripture in the book of Colossians, and it's a definition from the Amplified Bible where I've been getting this word faith or the definition for faith for many, many years now. Here's what it actually says in the Amplified Bible concerning this word faith. It says that faith is the leaning, here it is, the leaning of your entire human personality on God, the leaning of your entire human personality on God, and absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness. Stare that down. Look at that. My God, either put hair on your chest or take it off, one or the other. Look at that. The leaning of your entire human personality. So wherever you're at in life right now, lean your personality. Lean your inhibitions. Lean your frustrations. Lean maybe a negative bent in your life. Lean your personality on God. Listen, in absolute trust and confidence in three things. In His power, in His wisdom, and in His goodness. Notice those three things. That my faith must lean on His power. My faith must lean on His goodness. My faith must lean on His wisdom. Power. Let's talk about it for a sec. That your faith would rest in His power. It simply means He has all the strength that I need, all the strength you need. You're going through situations, you've got to realize this is a dead end. Man, there's no way. I don't know how I'm going to get out. I'm physically drained. I'm mentally drained. I'm financially drained. I'm relationally drained. I got no more. He says, hey, I got all the power you need. It's about His wisdom. His wisdom. He knows everything about everything. Father, I'm at a dead end. The problem, the answer, everything is stopped. Everything, there's no way out. Everybody says no. Before we got into this building, we had five banks told us no, 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 no. No. Let me tell you what. And I was up on this years ago. And I was up, we were in another location. And I'm coming up in a church and I'm saying, God said we're going to buy a building. And come on, Reuben and Sandra were there. God said we're going to buy a building. And God, yeah, go, go, God. And then I get home and I get a phone call from the bank. Nah, we ain't doing it for you. How many know? Like, okay, I got to get up next week and we got to believe God again, right? And then look, come on, look what God did. Come on, everybody, look what God did. Look what God did. Come on, look what God did. Come on, you're seeing something God did, that a church believed God. And God, you know how. God, you know everything. You're full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. Help me think in line with you so I can get out of this situation. And He will. And third thing this faith does is talks about His goodness. That God only has good intentions for you. Only good intentions. See, some people think, you know, that God's up there kind of going, you step out of line and it's over. Last straw. Done. Cut your legs out. You're through. You're on a skateboard the rest of your life. Not God. He's only got good intentions for you. If you struggle with that, read Luke 15, called the prodigal son, the wayward son. The minute he turns, God's already turned toward him. Gave him way more than he asked for. Woo! Hebrews 11:6. Key scripture. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Listen to this now. Look now. Two things you got to know here. Two things. We're talking about faith. We're talking about these things are eternal, lasting forever. This faith, this blessing called faith, is working forever. Is number one, you got to believe that He is. You got to believe God is. You got to believe He is. Faith that connects you to God. That's what He's talking about. You got to believe God is. For your life to make a difference on the earth, live above the curse, number one, you got to believe God is. But listen, that's not enough. It's not enough just to believe that God is. You have to believe, number two, that He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. That He's going to get you what you believe for. He's going to get to you what you believe for. That He's a rewarder. He's not a destroyer. He's a rewarder. He's going to work with you. He's going to coach you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to show you things from the Word of God to say, that's not just for Paul. That's not just for Jesus. Pardon me. It's for you. He died for you. Paul's now revealing what Jesus did for you. Believe it. Believe He's a rewarder. Let your faith rise up so that you can walk in this spiritual blessing called faith. That it's taken off the pages of the Bible and you say, it's going to work for me, that my faith is going to connect with God, and I believe it, and I'm going to see it working in my life. Number two that we talked about here, this eternal hope. Hope. Amazing when you start talking about hope, because we live in such a hopeless society. That there's a phenomenal scripture, if you don't know it, mark it down, Hebrews 6:19. It says this, the hope, this hope we have is an anchor of our soul. That hope is an anchor of your soul. Now listen to me. We live in a shipbuilding community. We live in the Navy Yard right here that has huge ships, huge vessels. And we know every one of these huge vessels has this thing called an anchor that will keep them grounded when they're out at sea somewhere and they need to have stability not to move. They don't want their location to change. But listen, an anchor's value is based on what it's secured to. Is what it's secured to. I mean, we could have an anchor up here today, and I think Mike pulled up something that one of the ships out there, the anchor weighs like 33,000 pounds for one of the ships. Okay? You could have an anchor, but if it's not, what's the point of an anchor if it's not secured to something? So the hope we have that anchors our soul is a hope that reaches to God Almighty. That anchors you. It anchors your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect. I feel so good in church. I feel so good when I'm around positive people. But it's like the devil jumps on me at work. It's like I start hearing crazy things and I can't shake free himself. My soul, my thinking, my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect has to be anchored. Anchored. That God has a confident expectation for me, what hope means. He's got a confident expectation for me. Let me ask you, how's your hope quotient today? How's tomorrow look for you? How's the rest of the year looking for you? Kind of going, man, I don't know. The curse is out there. It looks tough. I don't know what's going on. Who's going to be our president? Who cares? I don't care if Idi Amin is your president. God's going to work in my life. He's going to work. Confident expectation. Confident expectation. So faith says this. Faith says you have a present spiritual possession right now. Hope says you can have confidence in your future. Confidence in my future. Doesn't make a difference what is going on. I can have confidence. And what we see in the Bible is this interesting thought concerning hope, how it's tied to not only today, which is very important, but it's tied to what happens after we leave this life. The next life. A life eternally spent with God. What happens after death? Well, it's really interesting. The Bible's real clear about that forever the Christian spends eternity with God. The non-Christian will be separated from God, the Bible says. The Bible says that, based on a decision we made while we're here on the earth. Because whoever will can be saved. God will not change anybody's will. He gives that free moral choice to all of us. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, it says this, God's saving kindness has appeared for the benefit of all people. It trains us to avoid ungodly lives filled with worldly desires so that we can live self-controlled, moral, and godly lives in this present world. So here's how we live in the present world. We don't have to live ungodly. We don't have to live worldly. We can live self-controlled. We don't have to live like everybody else. So he says, at the same time, we can expect what we hope for. Here's what we hope for. The appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another translation calls this the blessed hope. The hope. Now think about me. Think of that just a second while we're reading this. This was written while Christians are being drugged out of their house and being killed and murdered, being persecuted. All their belongings were confiscated and they were living in abject poverty. And the writer says, we're not just hoping for what we see in this life. We're hoping and have a confident expectation that when we leave this life, we're going to serve and we are serving a God who's going to make all things new. Can I tell you something? Heaven is a great equalizer. It's a great equalizer. We have a great, great hope. So he says from this thought, three hopes to inspire your faith. Number one, the resurrection's real. The resurrection's real. Heaven is a real place. And heaven is your home as a believer. It's your home as a believer. So much so that the Apostle Paul says this, you know, if we hope only in Christ for this life, we're pitied. We're pitied more than anyone else in the world. If this is what we're hanging our hat on, this earth, you're pitied. He says one translation, you're miserable. You're miserable. Guys, this isn't the big dance. This isn't the big dance. We have to have a hope that lifts us out above the curse while we're here on the earth, and we can. But a hope that reaches to heaven, that one day we will spend eternity with God and all the people of God to live free forever and ever from the effects of the curse. I thought I'd get a better amen in the room right now, huh? Yeah. So you can have hope that three things, and we'll move on, that God's going to back up his word. God's going to back up his word for your life. Number two, that God's going to work on your behalf. You can have a great hope in that. And number three, that God's never going to leave you. Never. Says it, never going to do it. Three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. Let's just real quick talk about this thing called love. the most familiar portion of Scripture in the Bible, probably for everybody, whether you know Jesus or don't, is John 3:16. Guys with funny rainbow hair hold up a sign behind every sporting event, John 3:16. I want to read it to you from another translation, and we'll read verse 17, though, because it's really the jumping point. It says this, "For God so loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not die but have eternal life." Verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior." I love that. God didn't send His Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior. So let me ask you, if that's why God sent Jesus, then what do you think we should be doing more of? Judging or saving? I think the saving side. So a working definition of this thing called love, it isn't a feeling, it isn't emotion. It isn't just a brotherly kindness. This word love means unconditional acceptance, not determined by actions. It will always seek the highest good, never changing based on feelings. Never changing. God says, you can't do anything that will make me, listen to me, make me love you more or make me love you less. I've set my love on you. Whatever you do, whatever you decide, you reject me, He says, I'll never reject you. It's unconditional acceptance. It's not determined by the person's actions. It's always seeking the highest good. It's never changing. God says, I love you. I will always love you. You reject me, I'll never reject you. You curse me, I'll always pronounce blessing on your life. Amazing. It's called love by choice, not love by chance. This is what God is. This is what God will do for your life. It's who He is. So much so that in the book of Romans, and here's where I'll wind up today. The last few verses in the book of Romans outlines and tells us about this love. And here's what the Apostle Paul says, because this dude's been through some stuff. Listen, when you read his account, this guy had an encounter with God in Acts chapter 9. He's out persecuting the church, and he's not a Christian now. He's a religious dude, but not a Christian. And he's persecuting the church and taking people out of houses and taking them to jail and having people killed and separated from their families. He's a mean dude. And while he's going to Damascus, this great light shines around him and he falls to the ground and Jesus starts talking to him. And 3 days later, he wakes up. He was blinded from that light. He has an encounter with God. He gets saved. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He senses the call of God in his life. And he just gets up from that time and starts preaching. But while he got called, God says to him, I'm going to show this brother how much he's got to suffer for my name's sake. Because even though you're a follower of Christ, you're still going to go through some sufferings. Because the effects of the curse are working in the earth. So this is a brother right here that's been shipwrecked 3 times. This is a brother right here that's been beaten with rods. This is a brother right here that's been whipped with lashes 5 times. This is a brother who was stoned and thought to be dead. This is a brother who the people said, we're going to kill him. And they took him at night over a basket and let him down over the wall. This is a brother who was running for his life. This is a brother who everywhere he went, they either had a riot or a revival. And he says this. In Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us? Can I tell you? There's a who trying to separate you from Jesus Christ. And he lists several things that are trying to separate you. He says, shall trouble or tribulation separate you? Things that you're going through separate you? Shall distress, stressful situations are trying to separate you from Christ's love? Persecution, your family coming against you, the workforce coming against you, people coming against you and persecuting you for your stand for Christ? How about famine? How about your needs not being met? How about things in the economy? Nakedness or peril, danger, ISIS. Wow, we got all kinds of sickness and all kinds of perilous things going on now in our society. How about the sword? How about unexplained things? How you go, how did my spouse die of cancer at 32? How? What's up? A children's hospital, all these kids. What's up? Things I have no answer for right now, other than the curse is working. But he says, these things in your and my life that you can't put your finger on, that many times are unexplainable, will try to come in your life and separate you from his love. And he says, don't let it. Don't let it. Don't let it. Because he says in verse 37, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things, if you'll realize he loves you, he's got a plan for you, it's unconditional, he's never going to judge you, he's not based on what you do, based solely on him. If you understand that, it will cause your life to succeed and the foundation of your life to increase. There's something about living in an environment of unconditional love, that God loves me based on his love, not based on my performance, that will allow you to flourish in life. He winds up the thought and he says in verse 38, I'm convinced. I'm convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor things present, nor future, nor powers, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate. Come on, somebody. If you're going to clap, let's clap. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's eternal. It's going to be with us forever. Faith, hope, and love. We can have confidence and we can rest in God's love for you. Listen, rest in it. God loves you. God says, I got great hope. I've got a confident expectation for you. You can believe me that not only that I am, but I'm a rewarder. I'm a rewarder. Based on these three things, just notice on the screen. You can have faith in God, his character, and his nature. You can have faith in God and his character and his nature. And that your faith will produce his blessings manifesting in your life. They will. They will. You can have faith that will produce his blessings manifested in your life. You have a confident expectation called hope concerning today and your tomorrow. It can work in your life. That your hope is anchoring you to God, who's never going to abandon you. He's never going to abandon you. I have a confident expectation, regardless of what pit I find myself in, regardless of what choice maybe I made that was against God's plan, that the minute I turn toward him, his word begins working in my life. And thirdly, that you're loved with an unending love, not based on performance, but based on God's choosing you. Man, God's not after perfect people. God's after people that realize who he is and your heart reaches out toward him. And you say, Father, I'm interested. I'm interested in moving forward in my relationship with you, allowing the blessing to work in my life concerning my faith towards you, concerning my confident expectation about right now and about what tomorrow is going to bring and eternally with you. And Father God, about this thing called love, that you're not judging me, you're not criticizing me, you're not condemning me, but you got a plan for my life. So I'm going to rest and I'm going to allow nothing to separate me from you. No person, no word, no agenda, no thought, nothing that happens to me, that happens around me. I'm not going to let anything separate me from the love you have for my life. If you do that, hear me. This thing called the blessing is going to be working in your life in a brand new way. Come on, stand up, everybody. Would you do that this morning? Stand up. Prayer partners, come on up here and help me. Let's pray. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for the blessing of the Lord. I pronounce a blessing on this congregation today. I thank you that wherever the blessing goes, it multiplies. It's always looking to expand and increase. I thank you, Father God, today you're showing people certain things. You're making them today. They're hearing the Word of God, and there's a remaking and a making in their lives. You're making all things new, you said. You said that you're blessing us with power for success, prosperity, and longevity. Father, I pray that working in the lives of the people who I'm talking to right now and praying for. Father, I thank you for this thing, this spiritual blessing. It's intangible. We can't put our finger on it. But Father, our faith is reaching out to you today to say, we believe. We believe. We believe. We believe. Thank you that you have redeemed us. Thank you that you have released us from the payment and the ransom of sin. You became the sin sacrifice for us, Jesus Christ. You have been made our substitute. We prayed that earlier. We receive that. We receive it. Father God, help us grow more and more into realizing who we are, what we possess, because of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your faith that you've given us, the measure of faith, that it's going to grow, it's going to multiply, it's going to increase by believing and by our actions. So talk to us about our faith. Is our faith being weak? Is our faith waning? Is our faith growing? Like a muscle, it grows as pressure is applied. So Father, so many of us today, listen, this is a God word. Just listen. Spirit of prophecy doesn't necessarily say, thus saith the Lord. But listen, this is prophetic right here. Many of you right now are in constricted situations. You're in places where it looks hard. It's difficult. It feels hard. Listen, you're right where God wants you. If you weren't there, your faith wouldn't grow. But he has allowed you to be there in his divine providence, not to leave you, but to allow you to be there so you would exercise three areas: your faith, your hope, and your love. That's eternal. Never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. He's declared that. Believe it. Believe it. But it's so long. It's taken so long, some of you say. He says, I'll be there with you until the very end. That you will see a fulfillment of what I've spoken. So believe. 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 Sorrow may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Believe. 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 He loves you. His plan is for you. Not going to stop. It's not going to stop. Refuse to allow anything to separate you. Pressures of today, uncertainty of tomorrow. You say, I'm going to believe. My faith is going to grow stronger. I'm going to have a confident expectation that things are changing and turning for me. And I have a blessed hope when I leave this life. Father, today, thank you for the encouragement of your word and the strength that comes to us from being in your presence. Your presence is a strengthening factor in our lives. We're strengthened by might through the person of the Holy Spirit. Would you do this with me right now? If you're comfortable with that, would you just go ahead and lift a hand to the Lord? And come on, you're just like an antenna. You're just lifting your hands. Everything, every blessing heaven has to offer, we receive right now. Every blessing. Every spiritual blessing. That we will not be deficient. We are not without. you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Our faith is resting today in your power, in your wisdom, and in your goodness. We say thank you for that today. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Come on, say amen, amen, amen.